Evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for our board meeting tonight. Thank you to the board members and administrators that are here in the high school cafeteria. And thank you to all those who are joining us online. We'll begin our meeting with a moment of silent reflection to reflect on our responsibility to our students, our parents, our teachers, and our taxpayers, followed by the pledge to the flag. Please rise. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Looking at our attendance this evening, all the board members are present except for Mrs. Houston and Mrs. Trout, both of whom are out of town. Should also point out that we held an executive session prior to tonight's board meeting to discuss HR and legal issues. Move now to approval of our agenda for this evening. Entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments about the agenda? Okay, all in favor of approving the agenda indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Agenda is approved. And now is our first of two opportunities for public comment. If anyone on Zoom would like to make a comment, I would ask you to use the raise hand option on your screen. And when it's your turn to speak, our webinar host will unmute your microphone and you'll be asked to state and spell your name for the record and to share your address. But also point out that we'd like you to hold your comments to a maximum of 2 minutes or so. That we would be appreciative of that and remind you that the board does not respond to questions or do we reply to public comment. So with that, if anyone is interested in making a comment, please select the raise hand option.
Mr. Blevins, at this time we do have a hand raised. Ellen Connolly would like to speak. Ellen, you can unmute yourself.
Thanks, Tom. I'd also, just to start, I'd like to thank the board for the YouTube presentation and your words of appreciation. I can't express how much that means for everyone to hear that. So, you know, any of the teachers that are listening, and of course, we'll share when we're all back in the buildings for everyone to watch that. So thank you very much.
Mrs. Connolly, we are going to show that as part of our board meeting a little later.
Oh, wonderful. That'll be great. As president of the Dallastown Area Education Association, I wanted to publicly recognize the efforts and commitment of all of our educators serving in many capacities throughout the district. Anyone who walks through our school buildings will see and feel our positive attitudes, our unyielding energy, the joy in our eyes that is partnered with smiles hidden behind masks. And maybe most importantly, one will see and feel our sincere desire to be physically present with the students despite the realities that might exist with this pandemic. A couple of days ago, one of my co-teachers sent an email to let us know of a student's response to his prompt, "Tell me one good thing that has happened this year." A seventh grade boy responded, "One good thing that happened this year was that school was not canceled and we get to come here and learn." Our emails back and forth to each other were filled with "love this," "I love it," and smiley emojis. Of all the things that we could possibly complain about or find fault with during this stressful time, we as Dallastown educators choose to see and share the good that is surrounding us. We are choosing to be inspired by our students, and we are choosing to share that inspiration with each other. The The educators of our district have fully supported the three learning options that have been provided to our families. These options are popular across the state and country, so we are not being expected to implement anything different than many public schools are. We are very appreciative of the parents and community members who have posted positive comments on social media, called or emailed us to thank us for providing a reopening beyond their expectations. It is not easy to collectively represent over 400 members of our education association. We are all assigned different roles during this reopening. The stressors vary by definition and degree. There are a few things, though, that we all believe about education. It takes thoughtful infrastructure, pedagogies that are logically sound, and quality time. We appreciate that the district provided some teacher-to-teacher training the week before students arrived, along with some equipment and tutorials that we needed. I do need you, though, to seriously understand what school really looks like for educators. Theory and practice are very different. A lawyer learns in a classroom what to include in an opening or closing argument, but the most important part of his or her success is implementing it in real time with real people making real connections. A nurse learns how to read data from a patient while in a classroom. The most important part of his or her success is implementing decisions from that data in real time with real people making real connections. The same goes for what our Dallastown educators are trying to do each day. We've learned about Zoom and Google Classrooms and cameras and educational games and safety precautions in the classroom during our days. But the most important part is delivering a lesson in real time with real people making real connections. Our measure of success is only as good as the academic, social, and emotional growth that we hopefully will see in our students. With this said, the main reason I speak tonight is to let you know that we have our 1, 2, 3 learning options identified, and we actually added one more, and that is to teach option 1 and 2 at the same time with up to 30 students in person and on the screen. We have our Cliff Notes and our instructions, our web tools, our educational games, and our tutorials to read and review every night after we are done preparing content, contacting parents, assessing daily work, and communicating with a fellow teacher, counselor, psychologist, nurse, or administrator about a need that a student may have. What we don't have is time. We need time to sustain what the district has directed us to do for our students. We need evidence that the district is supporting its educators who are managing a workload that has tripled. I do not exaggerate when I say that educators are doing our absolute best and putting our best self in front of students, but it is at a cost of our health and our personal relationships. We will continue to give our best to the students in this current instructional model. We are being flexible. We are writing and developing curriculum at night and teaching it the very next day, all day, and then we repeat. To sustain this four-prong instructional model, we need more time to meet as departments and grade levels, time to plan and collaborate with our supervisors, time to be able to add rigor and quality that Dallastown has always strived for. We need time to follow through and troubleshoot. We need the district to include time for us to implement the model over the long term. This pandemic is not going away anytime soon. We need the district to structure a schedule that optimizes the education that our students can receive from us. Again, we fully support all of the learning options that we are asked to implement. We are fulfilling our end of the plan. The district needs to go the extra step and take care of its educators so we can take care of our students. We need an infrastructure that offers us the time for analysis, planning, and collaboration, or all of the risk put into a reopen will be for naught. Our association leaders and teacher leaders have been working with administration. We appreciate their support. We know they are struggling. They also need time. We need to gain this time, we understand, at no financial cost to the district, and we are ready to problem solve with everyone. Dallastown educators will continue to find inspiration from our students and each other. We will continue to look at our administration and supervisors for guidance. We will continue to strive to make this look easy to the outside, but please know that inside, we are desperately in need of a district plan that will include supports and time for our educators during the pandemic. I ask that we please continue to work together, to listen to each other, to listen to our needs, and acknowledge those needs, so that we may serve our students and community to the best of our abilities. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Connolly.
Blevins, at this time, there are no other hands raised.
Very good. We will now move on to our special presentation for the evening, and we did, as a board, recognize the tremendous amount of stress that our teachers and administrators have been going through in order to get school opened and continue to go through, as Mrs. Connolly described, on a daily basis, and thought that it would be appropriate for us as a school board to show or attempt to show our sincere appreciation for their efforts. So we put together a video that I believe was shared with the staff today.
Tomorrow.
But we'd like to show that so that the public can also realize how much we really appreciate the efforts of our teachers. So with that, if you would show the video, thank you. Thank you, Dallastown teachers. During these extremely challenging times, you have been amazing. You have successfully overcome obstacles that no one could have imagined a year ago. You have spent many hours responding to a flood of emails, learning new technologies, adjusting your content delivery strategies, being advocates, coaches, mentors, and counselors. On behalf of the school board, we recognize how very stressful this has been for you, and we sincerely appreciate your dedication, professionalism, and passion.
Thank you for rising to the challenge and offering our community three different learning options for this academic school year. You've been given an unimaginable task, and your dedication and efforts are appreciated by so many. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you for inspiring a generation of learners to persevere during challenging times.
Some time ago, when you made a decision to go to school and pursue your life's dream, your book was wide open. The opportunities were vast. The choices were many. You chose to change lives. You chose to improve the human condition. That in and of itself is worth a tremendous amount of respect, and I really respect all that you've done. But given the very, very arduous task that's been placed before you, this pandemic, you've been given a job that's maybe bordering on almost impossible to do, but yet you've risen to the challenge. You've done a great job of preparing lessons, preparing for contingencies, and all the while keeping your focus on the lives that you're changing. Thank you very, very much for all that you're doing.
Thank you for everyone's efforts to get this school year started. I'm really excited to see the school year start with the challenge that we faced. Everyone's really embracing that challenge and using it as a new opportunity to reinvent how we provide education to the district, whether it be in class or virtual. We're just very appreciative of that, and we're very excited to see what you're going to do with this new technology and this new opportunity.
Thank you very much for everything that you guys have done with getting our schools ready, making our kids feel like this is normal for them to come back, and making our remote learners feel welcome into our schools. So thank you again for all the hard work that you guys have done. I just want to say how much I appreciate our teachers and staff and how they truly care about our students well beyond the academic part of their lives. I also want to say how I'm excited about the opportunities that will come out of our new normal that we are experiencing in education, and I look forward to the new ways our teachers and will find to educate everyone.
I realize that summers are usually a time to rejuvenate, restructure, and reinvent. This one, however, was compounded with uncertainty and anxiousness. All of your apprehension was put aside as you greeted each student with encouraging words and smiles. I appreciate your professionalism and your resolve. You always show your personality in your classrooms with your visual displays and charts. However, this year we added bitmojis and screenshots to the virtual spaces, and your personalities are so evident. It is your spirit and dedication which will impact the growth of our students and support each other. As we move through the year, there will be challenges and successes. Please know that you have our awareness, our support, and our gratitude.
I'd just like to tell everybody how appreciative we are of all the hard work that's been put into starting school this year. I know it's unusual the way we started, but I think the students and the parents and actually the teachers and administrators have all hopefully thought it was worthwhile. I know the principals put in a lot of hard work. I know that week before school, the teachers did a phenomenal job of a short amount of time getting everything ready for the first day. Everybody's played a part in it. And I'm just thankful, and I look forward to the day when everybody can come back to school.
As you complete week two of what will no doubt be a very difficult year, few thoughts come to my mind. Our world today is divided on many topics. We're facing adversities that we never imagined. It's encouraging to see how well administration and staff have come together in the face of this adversity. It shows the Dallas Town spirit. The fortitude and dedication I am seeing at all levels to assure the best possible school year is, to say the least, heartwarming. If one word comes to mind, it's confidence. Confidence that we share at least one common goal: the premier education of all Dallas Town students. Confidence that we can overcome the challenges ahead and that we can reach that common goal. I want to offer my sincerest appreciation and my sincerest thank you to all that you have done in preparation for this school year, in getting ready for both online and in-person classes, and the dedication that you continually show to your compatriots, administration, the families, and most importantly, the students of the Dallas Town School District. Thank you all very much, and our hearts are with you as you move through the school year.
Thank you for your part in educating our students. They depend on you, our community depends on you, and our future depends on you. I recognize that this is not easy. You've had to navigate new ways of teaching at a moment's notice. You've had to be stable and a guiding force while dealing with your own uncertainty and challenges. But you've stepped up, you're pressing forward. You're putting in extra time and effort, you're working your tails off, and you're giving your best effort. We appreciate this so much. We know you can do this. We know you are doing this. You are heroes. We are fortunate to have you. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To all the board members for taking the time to help us put that video together, to Nicole,
yep,
for her hard work on that. So. Let's move on to the superintendent's report, Dr. Dahl.
Thank you, and I also want to echo the same sentiment, just certainly thank the staff for their tremendous preparation and preparing for the start of the new school year. We clearly have a tremendous team of professionals, and again, publicly thank all of them for the job well done. As Tom is pulling up the superintendent's report, I am excited to share as the dust settles for the first 2 weeks of school. We're pleased with the excitement and anticipation by students, parents, teachers, and administration. Dr. Heffler and I have spent a lot of hours in the various buildings touring, and found that instruction is well underway. And our students are engaged in various learning activities and opportunities, regardless if they are participating in option one, two, or three. So I'm proud, at the same time, our schools have presented in a clean, organized, and well-maintained manner, and students have done a tremendous job meeting expectations surrounding the new health and safety protocols and parameters. I would like to share, as part of the presentation, just an update on our student enrollment, specifically a percentage breakdown for our public per building based on our first day of school. And I will try to keep this updated as we move throughout the next several months. You will notice there were a few adjustments since the final confirmation, And we continue to attempt to adapt to requests and changes that arise. And I'd like to thank our principals and certainly our guidance counseling, school counselors and teachers for their continued flexibility as certain changes are made to support our students. Also, I want to wish, I'd like to thank our guardians and district families for certainly your patience and understanding as we chart a new course here at Dallastown. Two bits of additional information I'd like to review. One is you observe the first total number of current outside cyber students. So these are students that elected not option 1, 2, or 3, but outside of Dallastown. So considering the pandemic, we have seen an uptick in these numbers and we'll spend the next few months working to encourage and reestablish them as Dallastown students. In the meantime, I share this information knowing this will have a could have a detrimental impact on our budget. I just want people to be aware. The second chart shares our kindergarten enrollment, and you'll observe that we have seen a decrease in kindergarten enrollment at the start of the new school year. Specifically, enrollment's down approximately 87 students as compared to last year, which accounts for approximately 3.5 kindergarten classrooms. So it is our belief that many families with kindergarten age students deferred their child's enrollment at the start of the school year, which could cause some additional strain on kindergarten classes for next year. So again, it's something we've been recognizing throughout the summer months and tracking. I think this is similar for other districts as well here within the local area, but just something we're going to have to consider as we go into planning for the upcoming season.
I feel compelled on behalf of Mr. Potter to point out that declining birth rates might be
that may be the case. We'll find out next August. That's funny. The next slide, just want to kick off. As we enter this this school year, we felt it important to provide some additional insight related to our newly developed and ramped up Wildcat remote learning option. I cannot say enough about our teaching staff. They've just been tremendous with preparing for option 2. And at this time, I'd like Dr. Heffer could provide a brief update.
Good evening. Thank you, Dr. Dahl. What you see before you is a brief slide that helps us to present tonight some of the features of the reopening of our schools on the educational platform. The pieces that you have before you are not hyperlinked, but the one I'm going to share with you will be. It's going to provide you a window in to a lot of the heavy lifting that Mrs. Connolly talked about, what you've talked about with some of our administrators, our instructional task force, and many of our teachers, as you've had a chance to collaborate with them and speak with them, or even families who have reached out to you during our reopening to share what their experience has been. So what I'd like to do tonight is highlight many of the things that our staff has engaged in, our students have engaged in order to begin this super reopening. What you see before you up above is our reopening slide, and you'll find that on our district site, so I will not share that with you. However, we will continue to highlight many of the wonderful things that are happening through our website. What I'd like to do right now is highlight our instructional task force here that has worked tirelessly to help pull together educational resources and training for teacher-to-teacher professional development and administrator-to-teacher professional development throughout the district. What I'm going to share with you right here is a presentation of just some of the folks who contributed to what you are going to see. We decided in order for us to launch these multiple modes of learning, we needed to have an opportunity to build our capacity and leadership for learning across the district. To do so, it takes all of us together, not just one of us. What you'll see here is a listing of high school teachers who pulled together multiple days over the summer in order to gather what would be most relevant for them to teach split roster classrooms throughout this opening. The middle school, much of our leadership team at the middle school contributed to what needs to occur in order to not only offer face-to-face, but split roster and remote roster students. The intermediate school has a cross-section of teachers and administrators who've worked across all three communities to pull together to truly bring together what has brought the vision of the intermediate school to life in our reopening. Our K to three folks, if you pull all five of our buildings together, cross-section every single grade level, you have teachers who are going to be teaching remotely, face-to-face, and supporting one another along the journey. These folks were our lifeguards, and we were keeping on our swimming in the pool, whether we were in the shallow end or the deep end, when it came to implementing new instruction and materials. We would like to formally thank all of them for their outstanding work in the task force portion of our reopening. They facilitated multiple days of professional development for our staff so that we may all grow together in the direction where we are headed next. Going back to our learning space here, this is a sample of a Bitmoji classroom. However, it would be impossible to put all of our staff's Bitmojis on this slide, because it is not about any one of us, it is about all of us. So if I could have a stool and a table and a laptop on this screen and a Bitmoji of every teacher and staff member who helped to contribute to what we are doing here in our reopening, I would certainly do so. Please note that we did launch everything from a Wildcat remote learning site for our staff. We developed this so that staff would have a resource to go for their materials and learning. It includes anything from our Wildcat remote learning models for instruction, our resources, ways in which we need to operate functionally and systemically in order to allow us to reopen in a manner for which you have experienced here. I would like to extend great gratitude to our distance learning team from the administration, including Dr. Hurry, Mr. Stauffer, Mr. Dyke, every principal and assistant principal in this district who helped to put that together, and of course our nursing staff and central office. I'd like to now show you a window into the Google Classrooms, which we have decided to be our platform for learning remotely and face-to-face. The very first Google Classroom I'm going to welcome you to is the K-3 Wildcat Remote Learning Classroom. Here is where we house all the materials and resources for all of our K-3 teachers and their professional development, so they can easily stream through and understand and see what they needed to learn about and engage in through our in-service days. The second item I'd like to share with you is the AP Human Geography course developed by Mrs. Wilson at the high school. She has developed student resources, weeks of materials, and you can see the extensive work that has been put forth in order for our students to work efficiently in our classrooms every day. Moving forward, you'll get a window in to the middle school's extensive work from subject area leaders in order to bring relevant, purposeful, and meaningful professional development in each of our subject areas for our staff, by our staff. Each subject area leader developed slides that were relevant for them within their subject areas, so we may provide the very best for the people for which we work. Next is a sample team Google Classroom from the intermediate school. This team has developed a classroom that is outside of your academic setting and focuses on the social emotional components of learning. It brings a team together who would otherwise be apart, because they are learning remotely. This team has put together Bitmoji pieces, team activities, and breakouts that would help all of our students develop together. Lastly, I'd like to share a Google Classroom from one of our K-3 teachers, Ms. Clinton, where she has taken all of the learning for which she has developed and built a classroom that allows her students to engage on a daily basis without limits. This is a sample of her Bitmoji classroom that I'll share with you now. Students, I observe when I walk through, have an opportunity to enter that classroom, pick up a book electronically, and begin their learning. That is just a very small sample of the broad and expansive work of our teaching and support staff and administrative staff that I'd like to highlight for you. One other component that I want to share with you here today that is on our whiteboard. During our reopening, we developed an organizational framework for instruction that is differentiated and divergent for the development of our professional learning for our staff by our staff. We are creating a positive climate for engagement with relationships, routines, resilience, and strategies that support our students and our families. We stand on the Dallas Town Cares framework. We care for our children first, for them as a child and them as a learner. And we care for each other because we are in this together. Lastly, I'd like to share with you a Padlet that demonstrates the differentiated and divergent professional development that I would like to share with you today. This Padlet allows our staff to dig into our user guide and all of the developmental materials that have to do with our Zoom platform. It also allows teachers to differentiate their own learning and decide where they are on their own learning path to dig into those materials. I would like to give great thanks to Dr. Faree and Mr. Stauffer for their work in this area. As we continue as a staff to develop and grow each day, each moment, and with each interaction with each other and our students. To close out my section here, we are not alone, but we are one. There is one stool here, and if I could fit every single educator in this district on that stool, I would. Because every single one together has made this occur. So I'd like to thank Dr. Dahl for the opportunity to provide these opportunities for our families and our students, but also the opportunity to provide those for our staff.
Thank you, Dr.
Howard. We're good.
And it has been just a tremendous journey. I know we sat here a month ago just with great anticipation of what the new school year would bring. I will say I am extremely humbled and pleased with the work of our staff, and that's under the leadership of Dr. Heffler and her team, as well as our principals and just a number of great teacher leaders. So it has been a tremendous offering. You will recall last month we also had a discussion that brought up that mandate related to universal face covering. It came right about last month's presentation. I do want to wish to thank our students are just tremendous with wearing their masks. And that goes from, we can't take all credit here at the school, that goes back to the families that are really preparing their kids. And it is wonderful to see, and this commonality across the board that students are doing their part from a mask standpoint. And I want to thank the public and just provide that update. At the same time, when it comes to the mask mandate, you will recall we had some discussion regarding the cafeteria. And since our last meeting and for the opening of school, I give a lot of credit to our administrative team. We had to basically restructure in order to allow students to eat in schools. We needed to maintain some type of 6 feet distance so students could take their mask off. We're sitting in the high school cafeteria. You can kind of see that example, what they did. We moved this to multiple locations. And across the district, there were a lot of creative and last minute efforts to try to ensure that happens. So we are in my opinion, compliance when it comes to the mask mandate as well as the cafeteria. So just a few pictures. Additionally, just while we're talking about the cafeteria, Chartwell's is phenomenal. They continue to serve as a great partner during this pandemic and just demonstrated great care and flexibility. So I want to give a shout out to them. I will share, and this actually continues to shift and evolve, just to kind of close up the presentation. Unfortunately, today, our district may have received communication. We had another positive confirmed case at the high school, resulting even some shifts to the data being demonstrated tonight. Just as an overview, though, as we finish our eighth day of school today, Dallastown has had 7 confirmed cases of COVID within our student body and staff. And additionally, we currently have 16 staff and 139 students quarantined. So we do continue to consult and collaborate with Pennsylvania Department of Health, conduct contact tracing for each case. And I give credit to our nursing staff as well as our administrative team for their round-the-clock effort. And I can assure you, because I've been part of some of these, it is around the clock. So as new cases arise for our community, we'll continue to communicate each time a positive case occurs or is reported. We want to make sure that you have the most up-to-date information regarding cases within our school. The other piece I just want to mention, because I have received some feedback from our community, and I know it's a discussion in some arenas here within the district. As it relates to confirmed COVID-19 cases, you will recall that the Pennsylvania Department of Health provided recommendations related to school closure on August 13th. As we continue to learn the positive COVID cases, it should be noted that we will closely consider the established state guidelines. So we're not following the guideline when determining if a school or schools should be closed for a specified period. However, I want to make reference that the recommended chart will only serve as a guide and a tool and not a hard and steady parameter for which we will utilize here within Dallas Town. And this is because we've already learned some things, that there are other factors that come to play which should also guide our thoughts related to school closure. And for instance, we need to assess the interrelational nature of the cases as we proceed so that we can be prudent in ensuring the continuity of education for all of our students in addition to their health and safety. We're finding that certain cases are more isolated while others are more interrelated. And so those things also have to come to play and are critical to consider when assessing the guideline. So although it's our hope that we do not have to close a specific school, I will continue to strongly encourage our district families to be prepared and devise a plan should that be warranted. And regardless though, should we face that unfortunate situation, it will be our goal to return students as quickly at a time when it is deemed safe for their return. So at that point, I'll turn it back over to you.
Any questions for Dr. Dahl?
I would add that the board has received very positive feedback from parents regarding the distance learning. That's very few complaints. So another,
it's good to hear.
Benchmark of success. So thank you. Questions or comments? We'll move on to the consent items. Mr. Fisher, were there any late additions to the personnel report?
There are no changes at this time.
Good. Entertain a motion for approval of the consent items.
Move to approve the consent items as presented.
Motion, is there a second?
A second.
Any questions or comments about the consent items? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Wenzel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Levin?
Yes.
The consent items are approved. Let's move on to our action items for this evening. First of which is the approval of Title IX policies. Mr. Benzel, Dr. Huffer, and Mr. Fisher.
I'll take it. Thank you, Mr. Blevins. As presented last month, we have two policies for your approval tonight. These policies are new policies that were in response to the Office of Civil Rights new guidelines that were issued in May. Policy 124 is basically our policy statement, provides definitions and guidelines. And policy 124 AR is our administrative regulation, which provides a detailed process for handling complaints. At this time. So both policies were developed in conjunction with the PSBA and Fox Rothschild, and we're looking for your approval tonight.
I'll make a motion to approve the Title IX Policy 124, non-discrimination based on sex, and accompanying 124 AR.
The motion, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any questions or comments? All in favor of approval of action item 8A, which two Title IX policies, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Policies are approved. Let's move on, Dr. Dahl, to the plan of merger for Dallas Town Area Educational Foundation and the Dallas Town Area Communities That Care.
Thank you. And last, this is a way of update. Last week, both boards, CTC and DAEF, approved and signed three documents, personalized resolution, plan of merger, and a merger agreement. So we are seeking this evening your final approval for the plan of a merger, which is attached as an information item last month. While it's not a legal requirement, I think it is a good sign of good faith that we are supportive, administration certainly supportive of the merger. So the goal will be, with your permission, we'll proceed, and we should be looking at close to a January 1st official merger with the two organizations.
Any questions for Dr. Dahl? Care to make a motion?
Move to approve action item 8B, the merger of the Dallas Town Area Education Foundation and Dallas Town Area Communities of Care.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor of approval of action item 8B, the merger of the Dallas Town Area Educational Foundation and the Communities That Care, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Item 8B is approved. Let's move to the election of PSBA officers. Mr. Bensel.
Thank you. The only area where we have a choice of more than that we can vote on is the vice president. And I looked at both the videos, read their little bios, and from what I can tell, my recommendation would be to vote for Daniel O'Keefe. He seems to have more experience, leadership experience. So, I mean, I'm sure both of them would have been okay, but that's how I made my decision. And if everybody's okay with that, I'd like to make a motion to approve the election using Daniel O'Keefe as the vice president.
Second?
I'll second that.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments for Mr. Bensel? All in favor of approval of Mr. Bensel's recommendation relative to the election of PSBA officers, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion carries. Approval of transfer of revenue from Market Street Sports. Mr. Rohrbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. Tonight we're seeking approval for the district to transfer funds of $50,763.84 from the general fund to the capital reserve fund. This is money from the Market Street funds, and this goes back to the board action from 2012. So, and this would be the last transfer under the Market Street arrangement.
I believe we had a board resolution that directed sometime at the formation of the Market Street Sports relationship. I believe we had a board resolution that directed the movement of those funds into capital endeavors. So that's inconsistent. It's being consistent with that resolution. Is there a motion for approval?
I move to approve action item 8D, the transfer of revenue from Market Street Sports.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Mr. Rohrbaugh. All in favor of approval of action item 8D, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Our final action item of the evening, which is in the form of a motion to authorize Dr. Dahl to adjust the Dallas Town Area School District Resocialization of Athletics and Student Activities Plan as he deems to be appropriate in response to the governor's latest recommendation or mandate and or legislation being signed into law. And with that, I'll turn it over to Dr. Dahl to comment.
Thank you. And I want to welcome Mr. Josh Luckenbaugh to the board table. Just a quick note, Mr. Luckenbaugh serves as our Assistant Director of Athletics and Activities and has done just a phenomenal job. Just very proud of what he's provided for our district so far in this role. So just by way of some background, we want to just talk, a lot happens within a week. And you recall we had a discussion on the topic, the Buildings and Capital Project. We discussed that the issue of PIAA spectators has been a heated source of discussion and debate around the Commonwealth within the past few months. As we learned, the Senate passed House Bill 2787 by a vote of 39-11. The bill passed the State House by 155. It was 155-47, and that's known as what is veto-proof majority in each chamber. The bill also allows Pennsylvania's local school districts to make decisions regarding sports and activities, including whether spectators will be permitted at sporting events. So that's kind of where we left off the saga the last time, where we were going to spend, which we did, several hours debating internally what would that plan be. We developed the plan. Mr. Luckenbaugh spent a lot of time pulling the presentation together, and then I got a text from him yesterday around 3-something. There were some shifts. So let's talk about some shifts that that occurred. What this past week, since our meeting, the U.S. Western District Court ruled that Governor Wolf's 25-250 gathering mandate is unconstitutional and violates civil liberties to assemble. On the heels of firming up then that recommendation, yesterday we also learned that the governor will be issuing new guidelines this week. They're supposed to come out either today or tomorrow regarding how many people can attend PIAA sports considering the federal decision. So really sadly, this political disorder provides our district with little clarity as to what are the next steps. Well, we thought we had some steps under House Bill 2787. We're kind of back to where we were previously, where we're locked into the 25-250 participation, but knowing that in the next day or two, there'll be some additional clarity. So I think regardless of the politics, I want to make something very clear to our public, because I know that the board has received some feedback. I certainly received some feedback and fielded some phone calls, and we stated this last week. It is our intent to allow for parent spectators, provide them with opportunity to view their child's sporting event when and if permitted by governor or law of the land. And again, we have to comply. We will continue to comply. I will emphasize that we wish to do so safely and feel that as a parent, especially those of our senior class, should be provided the right to watch their child or children participate in the PIAA athletic activity. So just to highlight now, what is our current plan? Unless or until a new governor's mandate or legislation is enacted, our district must and will continue to follow the PBE's guidance on participant attendance. So this includes 25 or fewer people for indoor activities. And indoor activities right now in fall sports, you're really talking JV and varsity volleyball. And 250 or fewer people for outdoor activities. So everything outside of volleyball right now is outdoor. So we have the 250 threshold. Just to clarify this, all individuals present at the facility of the activity count towards the gathering limit. So that includes student athletes, referees, coaches, cheerleaders, band, et cetera. So in both scenarios, the goal is to allow limited spectators when practicable. That's our plan, to provide safe opportunities for families to view their child's event. While we are limited by the 24 indoor and 250 outdoor participant maxima, we will provide when spacing is available, students with an assigned number of tickets to distribute to their immediate family. These tickets will only be distributed to DASD student athletes. And there is some general consensus, I'm not saying that consensus can't change, among the York Adams League that if you're hosting a home event, you really only distribute tickets to your home team. So for instance, when we are in a away event as a Dallas town, we will not have spectator tickets. That home location would have the tickets at that point in time, if you follow me. Mr. Luckenbaugh pulled together what's known as the golden ticket, and What you'll see is just kind of a quick sampling of what that looks like. And really, they'll use a punch card ticket. This one, I think, I can't find. Is that hockey? Okay, I think it's for hockey. Is that 7 events, Mr. Luckenball?
Correct.
I can see great then. And there'll be kind of a punch card type system, which would allow, so each individual hockey player would receive X number of tickets based on what we're going to get to next, which is the matrix. And for the matrix, this is where a lot of time and intensity has gone in. What they did is they looked at, Dr. Bumstead and Mr. Luckenball looked at how many total essential personnel are already in kind of counted for when it comes to their participation. So that includes the players, that includes in certain cases band, that includes the referees or coaches. And so you're going to see in that the first column, the total essential personnel, that will tell you the number of individuals. And then really that gives you the remaining seats that are available to hit that threshold. Now, unfortunately, in two specific areas, that's volleyball and varsity football, we already hit that quota when visiting teams are here. And so for the time being, and this saddens me, but for the time being, we will not have tickets available for those two specific areas. And hopefully that will change once we get some greater clarity from either the governor or future directive, legal directive. But we'll take, for instance, let's look at junior varsity football. If you have 110 essential personnel, you have 135 spectators that are available. That gives you a total of 245. So that would allow each player at that JV football to have 3 tickets to be able to distribute to immediate family and the like. So there is some difference that occurs based on the size, but that's just kind of the nature of what we're up against at this point in time. So with that said, we also, and this is where the important piece for our district, we also, again, regardless of spectators, when attending sports, our district must continue to comply with state-required safety measures. So this includes spectators wearing masks at all times, but also ensuring six feet social distancing outside of one's family unit. What we spent time, especially in the high school stadium, going up, measuring the bleachers, figuring out what 6 feet looks like. If you're up there, you're gonna see some nice marking for families properly social distance. We are cutting things out, such as the concession stand, regardless of the activity, because that tends to be, as we know from some building projects, it's a major pinch point, but we have done some work that way. Unfortunately, not everyone can attend, and that's just the nature of where we are right now. But I will also give credit to the athletic department. Our IT staff have worked to ensure live streaming information is available to our Dallas Town community on our website and district social channels. The other piece is the spectators outside of the gate. We recognize it's difficult to control all areas, particularly our stadium, but we are asking for cooperation. We are definitely willing to work with our community as new legislation comes in, but we have to maintain the social safety parameters that are put in play. And we're just asking everyone to try to be as cooperative with us as possible during this time. In the event spectators outside the venue are not following social distance protocols or disturbing the peace, we continue to work with the York Area Regional Police Department with their involvement. And we also have some additional safety measures we'll be taking to monitor non-permitted spectators. So from that standpoint, we also are communicating as a good neighbor. We'll make sure we communicate our rules to the other teams prior to them visiting our home area. So again, that highlights kind of what the immediate offering is. We had a whole second piece of this presentation, which was the compliance with the 2787, but we pulled that as of this morning. And I will just simply summarize it as this in regard to our next steps. We are fully willing to adapt the plan to safely allow for additional spectators, especially for varsity football, JV, and varsity volleyball when political clarity is provided. So as such, it's my recommendation this evening to seek superintendent authority to adjust the DASD resocialization of athletics and student activities plan as deemed appropriate in response to the governor's adapted recommendation or mandate and or legislation being signed into law. So at this time, I know we kind of went through a lot of information. See if you have any questions, any specific questions. You know who I'm going to look to in the far right there with Mr. Luckenball. But see if you have any questions, and would love to entertain a motion when you're comfortable.
Two and a half questions. All right. First of all, four questions, Mr. Luckenball. Thank you. I know that your goalpost is moving constantly, and like everybody else, you're adapting and overcoming it and making us look good. So thanks for all the hard work. A couple of quick questions. You know, you look at our country, and we're so divisive when it comes to wearing masks. You say it's going to be enforced. So our parents come in. I know our students, according to Dr. Dollar, are good about wearing masks. If parents challenge that, what are we going to do?
Well, I think it's very similar if you have a non-compliant student. You'll work it out. Say, hey, pull it up, or where's your mask? We have masks available at the same time you can give them. You try to play that piece. At the end of the day, if someone's going to be non-compliant, we have to enforce it because we need to make sure that's what the rule is. It's not our intent to play heavy, but that's what the rule is. We need to comply with the rule. And so we have the right to retain administratively. Those individuals not following rules may be asked to leave if they do not comply.
Sometimes adults can be a little more challenging than students sometimes.
That's why we also get some help.
Video streaming. We're going to share that address with visiting schools so they can watch at home. Are we also assuming that they're going to reciprocate when we have away games? Are most schools going to be broadcasting that our parents can watch those when Dallastown is the visiting team?
Yes, most schools we'll have that common practice. Not all schools can accommodate. So we're kind of playing with the house rules of the other school district, but they will communicate that with the athletic office prior to the event, and we will share that through our district platforms.
Thank you.
I think that will be one thing. There's so many positive things that come out of this. This is going to be one of those things, in my opinion, that we will just, I think it's going to enhance the sports experience long term. You're going to have some hit or miss, a lot of superintendents are talking about, and I think it will just emerge and grow over the course of time.
Mr. Luckenball, can we assume that the live streaming would also include the halftime is there band performance and other festivities? Cheerleaders, would they have the same opportunity to be visualized?
Correct. Cheerleading and band is full participants, and our numbers that we have accounted for, our plan for football games is the band will play normal as prior to with 6:30 to 6:50 time slot. And we have a guidance that we're under right now. The band will be a pep band staying for that time, so they are participating. We did not leave that out.
Are the visiting teams bringing a band, or is it just the football team at this point?
Just the football team. They're not bringing a visiting band or visiting cheer.
So we're not traveling either then?
Correct. Thank you.
I just have one question in regards to the spectators. If a spectator tests positive for COVID-19, are we then responsible for the contact tracing of that event?
So you're saying, trying to understand the situation. So are they coming to the event positive?
Either way. They come to, or if they find out they're then positive and then notify the district, are then we responsible to pursue the contact?
Yeah, if we're hosting something, it's very similar for hosting school. We would be part of the Department of Health. They would most likely reach out to us unless we're hearing some type of rumor mill or have information that way, and then we would be responsible to proceed that way. It becomes a little more challenging. Really, I think the Department of Health would have to take the lead on that because we don't have a student, a parent information, community information bank like we have from a student standpoint. But that is it's a very good point. It does open us up that way. That's some extra time.
I guess I could put Dr. Dahl on the spot here with civics, but My understanding is this bill was presented to the governor, this 2787 House bill, accompanying the Senate bill was presented on the 11th. How many days does that sit before it becomes law, even without the governor's signature?
He has until, my understanding, Monday.
Okay.
I think it's very likely, correct me if I'm wrong, that however this lands, my logic tells me that that 25-250 limit is likely to move upward. Okay, that whether it's the governor's new guidelines that then negate the override vote, or if the governor's legislation, if he doesn't sign it or vetoes it, and it either becomes law or it's overridden, that too is going to give rise to more students. So I think this 25-250 is a very temporary limit. Is that your read?
That would be my read.
Yeah.
But I didn't read that we had a lot going on this week too. But yeah, I would think so, Mr. Blevins. I will say this, the other piece, let's take Mr. Blevins' point, because I think it's accurate. Let's take it to a more extreme. I would just say as a district, because we have done the measurements, there are parameters that we will need to follow though. Let's say, for instance, they say 75% capacity. With 75% capacity in our stadium would certainly not give us enough room when it comes to social distancing, the 6 feet parameter. So, and just as a gauge of that, we have in our stadium area for an event, we're really looking outside of competitors, coaches, we're really looking about 400 students on average, or 400 visitors on average, spectators on average that we would feel comfortable with based on my recommendation. So I don't want the community to think if there's a flip the switch, we still have to comply with some of the social distancing and there will still be some parameters. Just how far and wide.
But in the case of football, there would be tickets distributed under that scenario.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's important for the public to understand.
There will be tickets distributed to families in the community.
Right.
Just have a quick comment.
Please.
And before I make my comment, I'm going to preface by saying I'm very appreciative of Dr. Dahl's work in this plan and Mr. Luckenbaugh's attention to detail. And I've had to have this conversation with many people. You know, what are we required to do and what is it recommended that we do? And it's very difficult and it's very challenging and I don't envy your position. So I want to say I'm appreciative and I'm going to be supporting this tonight. I guess my comment is really to Harrisburg, and frankly, to the governor in general. And, you know, we have the bill, we have the override, we have the unconstitutionality, we have all these things that are floating around. And I would ask that the public give Dr. Dahl a little bit of patience as he navigates these waters. I mean, this is the plan as it works today. I enjoy the football every Friday night, just like everybody else, and that stinks. And for girls volleyball, it stinks. It's the hand that we've been dealt. And again, I'm going to be supportive. My comment to the governor and to Harrisburg is this. My back of the napkin calculation, my rudimentary math, puts our stadium at somewhere over 4 acres of open space. 4.5 maybe. My rudimentary back of the napkin calculation puts our seating area at approximately 0.5 acre. Of space. The visitor section is 200 feet long with 15 rows. The band section is 125 feet with 20 rows. If we were to put everyone 6 feet apart, every other row, that's 439 people. In addition to the participants on the field.
Actually, good napkin math.
Okay, well, there you go.
Because you ran about 400.
Yeah, where were we, Josh?
400.
Well, my math doesn't even take into account the grandstand or the student section. So you could even further spread them that out. my point is, and my exclamation point is on this, that an indoor casino with a capacity of 2,000 individuals is allowed 50% capacity. That's 1,000 people inside a casino that are allowed to operate. But they're telling us that we have to be have 250 people in an outdoor 4.5-acre area where we could spread out to at least 600 people. So I guess my, Josh or Dr. Dahl referred to this as a saga, and it truly is. And I admire the time and effort that went into this. And I just go to Harrisburg and I say to our senators, to our congressmen, to our governor, help us out here. Help us with a little consistency. Help us with a little bit of things that make sense in terms of why can I have 1,000 people in a casino and I can only have 250 people in an outdoor football stadium? It doesn't make sense to me. I had to get that off my chest. I'll reiterate my support for Dr. Dahl, Mr. Luckenbaugh, and I'm going to be supporting this tonight. Those of you who are football parents or volleyball parents, I do apologize to you. Have a little patience with Dr. Dahl, even if things change tomorrow, which I know they're going to. It may not be able to be flipped on a switch. Just because they change things tomorrow for him doesn't mean that's going to go into effect Friday or even Monday or even Tuesday. He's going to need time to put this all together. But it's a moving target, and be patient with us. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Someone care to make the motion?
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
Motion to authorize Dr. Dahl to adjust the Dallastown Area School District Resocialization and Athletics and Student Activities Plan as he deems appropriate in response to the governor's latest recommendation or mandates and or legislation being signed into law.
I'll second it.
Motion and a second. Any further questions or comments? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Bentzel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Blevin?
Yes. In your hands, my friend.
Thank you. thank you, Mr. Luckenbaum.
Yes, thank you for your hard work.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Let's move on to the Finance and Building and Capital Projects Committee reports. Mr. Hartman, you may go first since your meeting was first.
Thank you, Mr. Bentzel. We met last
Bentzel.
Week. I'm sorry.
Don't call me Bentzel.
He has me spooked. Anyway. It's be hard to shake that one. So anyway, last week we met in this room, and it was our first meeting of the school year. Couple of very important topics we discussed. First of which was an error in projection, and this is, you know, had a little chat around the community and some press, but just want to be very, very clear. This was an error in a projection in the budget. So other than that, everything's okay. Had the board known about this, we probably would have made some other decisions on this year's budget, but what it essentially means is that we're looking for, you know, $205 million in the coming budgets. So our work cut out for us for this year. What it did do though, it highlights some of our structural deficits that we have from year to year. So we talked a good bit about some of those structural deficits, and also brought some of the other board members up to speed on how we've done things over the years, such as bringing expenses forward, which maybe make the expenses look more, but yet when you're bringing them from a future year, it helps the operating budget in that next year. So there was logic to do those things, and just making sure everybody's up to speed on how we've done things in the past and how we should possibly navigate things in the future. Another important thing that we've taken a look at for the first time, and as we'll continue to take a look at, is the effects of COVID on our finances. So we started looking at the budget from a COVID didn't exist standpoint, and then the budget with COVID, and then the effects of that, so we can track from month to month how that's going to impact us. And it will have a financial impact on the district, you know, no question about that. Talked about the anticipated fund balance at the end of the year, and again, some of the impacts of COVID and the tracking of that. And that was a meeting. It's going to be an interesting finance year coming up.
Mr. Hartman, I think there has been a little bit of press coverage about this issue, and just for clarity's sake, I think some of that coverage was a little misleading. And you know, just to reiterate Mr. Hartman's point that the error, if you will, was in a forecast as to what our fund balance was going to be at the end of the year that ended June 30th, 2020. And as a result of that, as Mr. Hartman said, we developed the budget assuming that our fund balance was going to be approximately $2.5 million higher than it actually turned out to be. So it was not a mistake. The books were not, I mean, it was not an error on the books. It was entirely an error in projection. And the impact of that is that our fund balance, as we speak, is $2.5 million less than what we thought it was going to be. And our challenge as an administration and as a school board is to figure out steps that we can take to modify our structural deficit so that we can have a fund balance that is comfortable for a district of our size. So that's our challenge moving forward.
Could I make one more?
Please.
Clarification. And I do appreciate the extra effort that the administration went through to look at the COVID, non-COVID related expenses, as Mr. Blevins said. And again, it was a serious offense, and I think we are taking it seriously, we're acting seriously, but I think it also gives us more heightened awareness that we've been watching the budget. We already knew we were going in with or without the mistake. We had already made the comments publicly that we needed to watch the budget this year already. And I just want to make the comment and reassure the public that we're watching from day one, as opposed to the similar point where we kind of look at this February and March and work on this effort. So the good part of this is we're monitoring, and we had already talked about looking at processes already before the discovery of this. So I think it all comes in concert to make sure that we're doing things more fiscally responsible. So thank you for the cooperation.
Moving on, the Finance Committee meeting then was followed by the Buildings and Capital Projects Committee meeting. And we got a brief update from Dr. Dahl on the status of the feasibility study report and the secondary campus master plan. We spent a fair amount of time talking about the Loganville Springfield project, and in a nutshell, that is going very well, and the cost estimates are favorable to our initial estimates, so that is good, and hopefully by the time we get to the holiday break, we will have that project completed, and as COVID permits, we will have a public celebration of that wonderful facility that is an addition to our facilities at Dallas Town. We also got an update on many summer projects that were undertaken, Dr. Dahl also then gave us a brief update on what we just talked about, the athletics and sports scenario. So, any questions about either of those committee reports? Okay, let's move on to the PSBA liaison report, Mr. Bensel.
Thank you. The school mandate waiver bill was introduced into the Senate, and it's Senate Bill 1286. They introduced legislation to provide public schools flexibility and relief from costly and unnecessary mandates. It would establish a program that would allow public schools to apply to the Pennsylvania Department of Education for a waiver of many state-imposed mandates If the school can show that its instructional program will improve or the school will operate in a more effective, efficient, or economical manner. And then I'm sure a lot of you are aware that the State Board of Education proposes changes to the state science standards. And it all came under the amendments to Chapter 4. And there was a couple of technical amendments. I think we've already talked about it, like lowering the compulsory school age to 6 years, and then just what they name the career and technical schools. But the big thing is, and it's on the link up there, PDE is going to change the standards for science for K through 5 and 6 through 12. And you can get on there and read everything. And like always, they have a public comment and then a regulatory review. So, you know, I don't know if it goes to administrators or teachers and even parents, get on there. And if you have any comments, it's probably worthwhile to look at it and take part of that review process. And there have been a bunch of broadband access bills put forth. Senate Bill 835, provide funding to improve access to high-speed broadband internet to unserved or underserved rural areas, and establishment of a grant program. Then the Senate Communications and Technology Committee, House Bill 2348, it's similar legislation. And Governor Wolf has funds, Federal Emergency Education Relief Funds, for an initiative that will employ a multi-pronged approach that includes use of state library networks and other partnerships to give students access to internet connectivity, computers and other technology, and access to remote learning platforms. We already talked about House Bill 2787 with the sports activities. This was passed by the Senate. Student Victims of Sexual Assault, Senate Bill 350, requires schools to remove any student convicted or adjudicated delinquent of sexual assault against another student enrolled at the same school. The school district would be required to expel, transfer, or reassign the offender to another school or educational program. And whichever action is taken, the school entity must ensure that the convicted, adjudicated student is not educated in the same school building, transported on the same school vehicle, or participating in the same school-sponsored activities. Then another one, Senate Bill 869, observance of September 11th and Pearl Harbor Day in schools. And then here's something, I don't know if it would help us out or not, but they approved by the Senate Local Government Committee, Tax Anticipation Notes, House Bill 2536, amends the Local Government Unit Debt Act to authorize special short-term debt to help local government units, including school districts, manage cash flow during the current pandemic. As amended by the committee, a local government unit is authorized to obtain tax anticipation notes with a maturity date of tax notification to be no later than the last day of the local government's fiscal year of 2022. Under current law, these TANs can only be financed for a period of 1 year. So, and I think that is all I have for the report this month. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Blevins? I mean, Vincent. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Mrs. Houston is not here this evening, and she has posted the minutes from the LIU board meeting that she attended on September 1st, and please review them at your convenience if you have not already done so. And the final information item of the evening is the York County School of Technology report. Mr. Lytle.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. Similarly, the minutes are attached to the agenda for your perusal. Bottom line is they're up and running. They are doing more of a hybrid learning itself, just from the standpoint that the students are learning their academics virtually. There's no way to simulate the hands-on welding. So it was really important for them to go through the protocol and using the building and the facility to get into their technical schools and have first-hand, hands-on acknowledgement. The teachers are having a similar struggle with trying to do the dual roles and planning and just adapting. Similar, there's a lot of appreciation for the adjustment. We did have an enrollment report, and everything still seems to be hitting its stride. Technology school is doing what it needs to be doing, and they're adapting and responding and just keeping everything on track. The only other highlight coming is I'll prepare you for budget process is already starting. Don't tell me how you can project a budget already on a year that is this traumatic and then already now start looking at 21, 22. But the good thing there is they can target enrollment better than what we can. So it is a little bit more containable. So I will hope to bring that better detail with you. And I would like to get, the process greased a little bit just so that if we have any concerns, we can address it quickly so that they would have time to react as well. So I look forward to that next month. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Lytle? Okay, our calendar of board events includes on Wednesday, October 7th, a very important board workshop and team retreat from 8:30 in the morning until approximately 2:30 in the afternoon. And I'd just like to confirm availability of the board members for that meeting. Everybody? Wait. And then on Thursday, October 22nd, we have the HR committee, which is a private meeting, and followed by a public finance and buildings and grounds committee meetings. And then our next board meeting will be on Thursday, October 29th. There are no conference requests. Now is the time for any board comments or correspondence.
Mr. Blevins, with your indulgence, I have a couple acknowledgments I'd like to make.
Please.
Few things have happened since our last board meeting. Some of them really good. And I just probably won't do this justice, but I just want to take an opportunity to point a couple of them out. First off, I'd like to talk about our invitation. Dr. Heffler and Dr. Dahl inviting each of the board members to participate and observe a professional development session by the teachers. I, for one, witnessed an elementary session at York Township. So we got to go in and we got to see the teachers in preparation for the school year, working together, collaborating, figuring out how they're gonna pull this off. These were the few days prior to the beginning of school. It was great to see. I thank Ms. Montgomery for the video that we put out. It's really an understated thank you, and I just wanted to say it one more time. That was a really great session to see. The second invitation that we received was to participate at the first day of school. And I had the opportunity to be at Loganville Springfield for that. We were there a few minutes before the buses arrived. We got to walk through the halls, and we got to see the teachers with their rooms prepared. I think Mr. Lytle pointed out while we were there, just seeing them interact with each other and the excitement and anticipation of the student arrival was really great to witness. And then to see the children actually get off the school bus was just fantastic. The third thing is last evening in the high school, I don't know if we went beyond the high school, but the high school for sure had virtual Meet the Teacher night. And I'm not sure how many of you at home listening were able to participate in that. It was a really interesting idea, and they pulled it off very well. And we were able to see the teachers and chat with them and get a sense for what school was going to look like. Each of the teachers talked about both their in-school and their remote learning students. So it wasn't singled out to just those that were in person. Those are just really great things to see. Additionally, I wanted to point out that I've received a number of comments and feedback. The people I've talked to have talked about option one and option two. I haven't heard anyone talk about option three, so I'm not leaving that out intentionally. I just don't have firsthand knowledge. But those that talked about option one and option two have been very supportive and very appreciative of the effort that's gone into it, how well the teachers have pulled it off, how well the students are acclimating to it, to everything that's going on. And it just gives you a really good feeling about the school year, whether it's option one or option two. And those families that selected option two and have the luxury of being able to be home and assist with it, they seem to really be, enjoying it. And so I just wanted to publicly say again, thank you, Dr. Dahl, to you, Dr. Heffler, to you for pulling that off. I know it was a team effort. I can't name all the people because I'll leave somebody out, but principals, custodians, administrative staff, everybody that's come together to pull, just setting up the cafeteria to make sure we were 6 feet apart. But most importantly, I want to thank the teachers again for the time and the effort that has gone into making sure that this year went off without a hitch. And I felt compelled to bring that up based on what I'm hearing in the feedback. So I want to thank you, administration, teachers, for what you've done this year. I know it's been tough.
I do. I agree with everything Mr. Pantano just said there. What our teachers and principals have been given this year is a monumental task, and I just appreciate everything they have done. I'd like to take it a step further. I'm very concerned this year for our administrators, our teachers, and our students regarding our state-required standardized testing. I strongly believe that we need to take this immense pressure off of our administrators, teachers, and students and provide them with that much needed time to further educate our students. With our abrupt ending and closure of last school year and then the unknown early future of this school year, I think we owe it to them to take the pressure off of them and let them focus solely on the three learning options we've asked them to provide our community this year. And I just thought that was really important to express, and I appreciate everything everybody has done to make this work and bring these options to our community. It's just an amazing job by everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor. I think the board would all agree that we have previously stated that we as a board do not measure the quality of education based upon results of standardized testing. And I'm hopeful, Dr. Dahl, maybe you have some more insight into this, but I'm hopeful that we'll get some sort of relief from Harrisburg so that we're not mandated to conduct those tests. And I think that would be welcomed by the board, teachers, administrators, and even if they have them, I'm not sure how you would possibly calibrate the scoring of the results, given the unique nature with which we ended last school year and the unique nature of this school year. So, and sadly, I think our teachers can't escape the fact that the state also mandates standardized test results to be part of their state mandate, not board mandate, state mandated performance evaluations. And hopefully we can get some relief on that too, because that too is unfair, in my opinion.
And even to the graduation requirement for students that for Keystone as an example. There's a bill currently being proposed. We'll watch that closely and see where it goes. But I think as a board, I know we've had some discussions with some of our tours. Talk to Mr. Blevins more about maybe having some additional dialogue, perhaps at the retreat coming forward on that topic. I'm strongly where you are on that with your statement.
And thanks for bringing that up. That's very important.
Thank you.
If I could go.
Yes.
Again, to Mr. Pantano's words, I want to make sure I share my appreciation for the access that you gave us for opening day, and also to walk through the middle school and see the Teacher Development Day in action. And again, I always go back to my first anniversary. I know we're asking a lot from teachers, and I know they're adapting a lot on the fly. I appreciate the update that you gave us during the superintendent report. It was invaluable. It's nice to see how we're performing. But I know, and again, it's firsthand, of the stresses and the effort that our teachers are putting in and the long days that it is requiring. And it's just the constant grind, and then the alarm goes off way too early in the morning again, and you start it all over again. It's like Groundhog Day.
So I get that. And, you know, Nicole Montgomery did a great job in making us all look better than we really are, and I'm grateful. But I use the word professionalism in my talk, and I also wanted to make sure that this wasn't lip service. This was all sincere from all nine of us, that it was incredible, you know, an incredible effort. It is sincere. And I just need to reiterate that I specifically said you have our awareness. And I think starting with Mrs. Connolly's words at the beginning of the meeting just kind of resonated with me. And I just wanted to make sure that we have those discussions that we need to somehow nip it in the bud as well, to make sure that we can work with their schedules and the planning time and make sure that somehow we continue to give them the support, because they are responding as well. And I just want to make sure they know we're hearing them. It's just a matter of, with everything on our plates at this point, what can we offer and is it adequate? So I just want to know that they have this member's sensitivity. So thank you.
Mr. Betzel, anything?
To add to Sarah on the guidance on the testing rules, the only thing this PSBA insider says is the U.S. Department of Education recently indicated that no federal waivers from required testing will be granted for the 2021 school year. Now, PSBA's take on it is, with many school districts operating in an all virtual or hybrid format, administering and test the assessments with appropriate security and monitoring will be impossible or impractical. With no federal relief available, PSBA has asked the Pennsylvania Department of Education to provide flexibility and guidance on how to administer their assessments safely and securely. So they gloss over, they're worried about how you're going to do the testing. So I told you where their hearts are in it.
I ditto everything that's been said. The first day I was in Ore Valley, and it was a joy to see those little guys get off the bus and everybody waving and happy and excited to be back to school. So it was a great day, and I applaud everybody in their efforts. On a very light note, I would also like to say thank you to Coach Brooke Schofter for welcoming me to the golf tournament on Tuesday, and I congratulate Dallas Town for winning that.
Mr. Hartman.
Thank you, and appreciate everyone's comments tonight. I echo everything. I can't really add anything to it. They're all excellent. But would have something else I'd like to talk about. And for the past 7 years, I've sat in this seat, and I've tried to make decisions in the best interest of the district. But tonight, I'm going to announce I need to make a decision in my own personal interest. And that is that, for personal reasons, I'll be resigning my board seat effective October 31st. So thank you.
That is a major blow to the board. Okay, we have really appreciated your presence with us and significant contributions you have made, and we will certainly do a much better job of thanking and honoring you at the October board meeting. Well deserved. We'll immediately begin the process of advertising the vacancy, and if anyone feels that they would have interest in becoming a school board member, the process for doing that will be publicized tomorrow, I believe. Is that right, Ms.
That's correct, tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
And that, just to clarify, Region 1.
That's correct, yeah. Region 1. And again, it's a big loss to Dallas Town School District, but to a person, we talked about this upstairs, we respect your personal needs and honor that as well. With that, I'd also like to add that we will, at the October board meeting, be going through the process of selecting the nominating committee for the officers for the next year. And if any of you are interested in serving on the nominating committee. It's a committee of three. If there's more than three people that are interested, then our policy calls for us to vote. Okay. And so please let me know if you have interest. Mrs. Trout has already expressed to Mr. Hartman her interest in being serving in that capacity. So anybody else, please let me know. If it turns out that there's more than three of you, that's fine. We just have to vote on it in October. And, so. Any other comments from you? Our second and final opportunity for public comment. If anyone from the public has a comment, we'd ask you to follow the same procedure and present your brief comment and indicate your desire to do so by selecting the raise hand option on your screen. And then when it's your turn to speak, the webinar host will unmute your microphone and you'll be asked to state and spell your last name and share your address. Make your brief comment.
Mr. Blevins, we do have a hand raised. The name is Tracy Rodkey. Tracy, you should be able to unmute yourself at this time.
Hello, this is Chris Rodkey. I have a question and I'll ask it, and if you choose to answer it, you may answer it. If you choose not to answer it, that's fine. After hearing all this talk about crowd sizes, I'm wondering if it's on the table to leave the PIAA, because my understanding of all the legal stuff going on in Harrisburg, I know that Mr. Pantano spoke at length about the governor and legislators and the courts, but my understanding is that none of that matters if the PIAA does not change their rules. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, there are no other hands raised.
Okay, seeing none, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.